We have our official attorney, Lisa Lanier, in studio with us. And you can ask her any legal question you've ever had. Maybe you're going through something right now, like, I don't know. And she'll bill you later. No, it's free. It's 100% free today. 800-682-1075. And Lisa, welcome to the show.
And happy birthday.
Yes.
Thank you.
We didn't plan very well because I left them out in plain sight. But we do have some delicious cupcakes to celebrate your birthday.
Awesome.
So happy birthday.
And I would like to say.
Yes, go ahead.
While you were out of the room, Lisa, Katie turns to me and goes, do you think it would be rude if I had one now? I said, yes.
I already knew the answer, but I just had to ask.
I'm like, control yourself.
I did not have one of your cupcakes.
And I said, I think it'd be fine. I said, of all people that would not be offended would be Lisa Lanier.
That's true.
It's still poor form.
Yes. I know. I didn't have it.
It's poor form. All right. Let's go to Melody. What is your question for Lisa Lanier?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy birthday, Lisa.
Hey.
I just have a question about a reckless driving charge. If the speed limit on the road was 45, the ticket was written for 55, what are the chances of beating that reckless driving ticket?
Well, usually you would see a higher rate of speed than that to see a reckless driving charge.
Right.
So I think you'd have a pretty good chance of beating that. So, you know, it depends on the county, because in this area, like, you might have a different treatment of that ticket in, say, Randolph versus Guilford versus Forsyth. But sometimes you can even get those things, if you don't have a bad record, you can get those even reduced in some counties to improper equipment. You could do a prayer for judgment. There's all kinds of options for you there. So as long as you don't have a terrible driving record and you haven't had a bunch of tickets in, like, the last 12 months.
Do you?
She's gone now. But I did go to driving school recently.
You did.
It was more than 10 miles an hour over.
Did you get a certificate or something?
I did get a certificate.
Oh, good.
And things were dropped and everything because I hadn't had a ticket in like 3 years or whatever. But that was fun, going to the driving school.
On a Saturday.
Everyone else there was 16 and 17. I'm like, hey. All right, let's go to Kristen. You can ask Lisa Lanier your question. Go ahead.
Yes. Hey, guys.
Hey.
I have a question about, my husband passed away in December and he was very young. He was 29 years old.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
And he has an Apple cell phone, an iPhone, and we're not able to get into it because of it being password protected and all that stuff. The police have his phone because it had to be treated like a crime scene. And I'm wondering, they're saying that they can't get into it. And I'm wondering if there's some way around that.
Yeah, well,
like with an attorney or any kind of way.
Yeah, usually the police can get into a cell phone even with the passcode. So that's kind of unusual. But Apple will, if you can show that you're the spouse and that your husband purchased it, Apple will, they'll get into it for you.
Well, the only issue with that we've run into is with Apple, they have went through all this stuff to try and make, you know, people's privacy, you know, where you can't get into their phones, like, because people who go to jail and stuff like that, you know, they don't want people going in their phone just because they're in jail, which I understand. But in this situation with him being deceased, you know, I feel like it's kind of a different situation. And he also kept records of work because him and his dad own their own business. And those are things that I need for tax purposes, but it's been a nightmare.
Oh, well, I bet.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. I'm sorry to hear about your loss. If you can get your hands on the phone, hopefully the police will release it to you. Take it to the Apple store. And if you can show that you know, actually, do you have an estate set up?
She's gone.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so she, I'm guessing too, I mean, Apple can't interfere with if there is some sort of investigation going on.
Yeah.
But after the fact, they take it there, show you're married, and it should be no problem. Okay. Let's go to Bobby. I've had this question before. What is your question for our official attorney, Lisa Lanier?
Is it legal to record a conversation that you're part of without the other party knowing that you're recording?
It is. Yeah, it's absolutely legal. As long as one party to the conversation knows about it, that would be you. You're fine to do that. What kind of
is it submissible in court?
Well, that's another story because it would depend on the circumstances. So, you know, are you talking like civil court, criminal court? You know, are you talking about using it against that person?
Yeah,
it generally will probably be admissible, but the rules of evidence are very different than the legality of the recording itself.
Yeah, it's admissible of evidence. It's different.
Yeah.
All right. And one last question for you. Do you handle, like, DSS cases and stuff like that, your offices?
No, we do a lot of civil litigation. We do mostly like personal injury and that sort of thing, but we don't really get involved with cases involving family law, or is it something like along those lines?
Yeah.
But if you want to call my office later, I can get you a referral to some good family lawyers.
Perfect.
All right, thanks, and have a good birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate it. Let's go to Gary. What is your question for our official attorney, Lisa Lanier?
Yes, we've had trying to see about getting our wedding photos from our photographer. Our anniversary was actually 3 years ago on Valentine's Day, and we have yet to get even as much as a flash drive with them on there. She keeps saying, oh, I'll get them to you. What can we do to at least guarantee that we get our memories that we paid for?
Oh, man, 3 years ago?
Wow. What kind of photographer is that?
It's called slow motion photography.
Yeah. He booked hugs.
Yeah, hugs.
No kidding. I have one quick question before you proceed. Did you pay, in full, you've already paid, right?
Yes, we actually paid some ahead of time trying to help out somebody that was a friend.
No good deed goes unpunished, right. My friend.
That's right.
I would. You could take them to small claims court, and that might be enough of a heads up to get this photographer's attention. My worry at this point would be: Did she actually have the photos? Does she still have the photos? Was there a mishap? I've heard of photographers who actually lost the whole batch of wedding photos, and then they do all this delay stuff. And so if that's the case, that's
what we were
that's
wondering.
What I'd be worried about.
She put a few on Facebook, but as far as the full package, I'm wondering, did a kid drop something on the laptop and they're just gone? And hey, let's avoid it till it goes away.
Let me ask you, if you did pay for photos ahead of time and these are your memories, and then the photographer lost them and didn't tell you they lost them, and you go 3 years waiting for them and to find out they don't even have them, can you sue for damages?
Unfortunately, usually in that situation, you just get the contract price. You know, whatever you paid, you get that money back. And you can't really, because it is a contract situation, you can't get these kind of emotional damages typically. And what has happened in a lot of these situations where the photographer's more forthcoming and nice about it, and timely about it, they would recreate it. They would actually just recreate it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's a good excuse to have a second wedding.
Yeah.
Right. If you're timely about it, not 3 years later, that poor guy. All right, let's go to Melissa. We have our official attorney, Lisa Lanier, in studio. You can ask her any question, any legal question you have, 800-682-1075. Melissa, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
Okay, so I have a very interesting question. So I had to get a drug test done for pre-employment, and it was a hair drug test where they have to actually cut off hair. And the person that conducted the drug test, she actually cut off a huge chunk of my hair.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
That's not funny. That's terrible.
We'll just say, oh, my God.
And, I mean, as a woman, I'm sure you can relate that your hair is precious. And so obviously I think it was negligence. And I even spoke to their manager at LabCorp where this was done at. And I want to see if there's a potential case in this.
Well, certainly if they cut a bunch of hair and disfigured you or, made you look, bad, then there could be some potential for some damages there. It wouldn't be a whole lot. So it probably wouldn't really, because typically, in a damages kind of situation, you look to was there a physical harm? And, certainly your appearance and can be harmed, but it would be such a temporary thing because hair will grow back and that sort of thing. That typically, I see a lot of people who get like a scalp burn and lose hair, say, from a salon. And those people really don't get a lot of money either. So it's just sort of, you do potentially have, by the letter of the law, a case, but it wouldn't be very valuable.
And by the way, all these questions and scenarios are alleged. We can't verify what happened,
yes.
But we appreciate your call. Yeah. Now, Katie has an interesting story for you about a lady that went to a jail for baptizing her own kid.
Yeah, when I first heard the story, I thought, well, maybe that's a conversation you should have had before you got married and before you had kids.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the mom and the dad married. They don't agree on how to raise their children. They don't have a set religion. They don't see eye to eye. And so they went to court because the mom, who is a practicing Catholic, goes to Mass every single week, wanted to baptize their child as a Catholic. The father, not on board with that at all. So the judge kind of put a hold on any sort of religious ceremony going forward until they could either come to an agreement, or maybe the kid was old enough to decide for themselves. The mom went ahead and baptized the baby anyway, and then just went to jail because the dad found out about it from some photos that he had seen on Facebook, took her back to court, and because this mother had blatantly disobeyed the order from the court, she went to jail.
For how long?
Seven days.
Are they divorced? Are they getting divorced?
They're in the middle of a divorce.
Okay, that's what it was.
And the judge had entered an order, and the judge was very specific about the order and that there was not to be any kind of a religious ceremony without both parents being involved with it. And so the mom very much violated the order. So I think for the judge, it wasn't so much about the religious aspect and not trying to discriminate against her or anything based on her religion, but just that she so blatantly disregarded his order. And so in that situation, if you disregard a court order, you can be held in contempt, which is what happened here. And with contempt, the judges have very broad discretion to put you in jail. It could be, sometimes it's a few hours, but like here, I think it was a little excessive. It was a week.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you seem like it's excessive, like, okay, what you did was wrong and whatever the ramifications, but not put, if you do it again, you're going to go to jail. Yeah, that's a tough one too. But, I mean, you're right, Katie, you know, for lots of people, the religious, I know he didn't do it for that, the judge, religious things are very important for your children to be baptized. And then you're like, I'm not going to let a judge tell me what I want to do with my kid. It can be very difficult when it gets.
But at the same time, can it also, when they're trying to figure out in the divorce proceedings, like who's going to get what? Can't this show her being irresponsible if that's the case and she did that, or does that have no effect? Because, for instance, let's say he said, "Hey, well, you're going to go to jail for a few hours," but also the other outplay is the fact that she's disobeying, and this is how she is part of the whole divorce proceedings. Can that hurt her in that case?
Oh, it definitely can, because this judge is going to hear all future custody disputes between these people. And so, you know, the judge is already going to be angry with her for this. And so let's say that the dad now moves for a change of circumstances and tries to get more custody or something. You know, the judge is going to already look at her and say, you've already violated the order. So, yeah, it can hurt her in the attitude of the judge toward her, because judges are human, you know, and they're going to, they're not really supposed to consider that, but they, of course they do.
Yeah, we read a study that judges give harsher sentences right before they go eat lunch.
Really?
Yeah, where they're hungrier. And then they and lighter sentences after they had just eaten.
Yeah, there was a whole study
like
about.
Like they're getting hangry.
In the morning, they were more lenient. Yep. And then right after, the second most lenient is when they got back from lunch.
Yes.
And in between those, the more and more we went without food, the more and more harsh they were.
We experience that every day. Yeah. Every day.
They're human. Yeah. They're human. Well, official attorney of Jared and Kate in the Morning, I don't even think she's human. She's a superhero.
Superpowers.
When it comes to the law. If you're ever injured on the job or have any other legal matters, call her 1-888-CONSULT or go to hireaheavyweight.com. That's hireaheavyweight.com. She has offices all over the state of North Carolina.